Today on Maine Calling, a grain renaissance rises in Maine. There is no shortage of delicious artisan bakeries in Maine, offering delicious and beautiful loaves, boulets and baguettes and batards and more. What's your favorite type of artisan bread? Sourdough? Oat? Buckwheat? Multigrain? Anadama? Maine's bakers and brewers and farmers and researchers who support them are part of a growing movement in Maine to revive the heritage grain economy in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we meet a few of the people right in the mix, or should we say right in the dough, of this renaissance. Next week, the Maine Grain Alliance's Kneading Conference and the Maine Artisan Bread Fair kicks off, the culmination of 2 decades of collaboration and growth. Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine. Now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Maine has long been known for its grains, especially heritage varieties. They are used in flour, bread, beer, and other products. We're going to learn today how Maine is rising to meet the growing demand for quality grains. Joining me today, Tristan Noyes, who is Executive Director of the Maine Grain Alliance and co-founder of Grow Maine, an organic farm in Aroostook County. And Kayla Carrier is Chief of Sales and Marketing at Maine Grains in Skowhegan. Join the conversation. Are you part of this grain economy? Do you farm, mill, or bake with local grains? Share your comments and questions. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Kayla, I'll start with you. Maine Grain's based in Skowhegan. I understand that Skowhegan was once known as the breadbasket of New England. I think a lot of people associate Maine with blueberries and potatoes and lobster and, pine trees. But grains, give us a little history lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Jennifer. Maine is formerly the breadbasket of New England. You know, there used to be several grist mills in our town in the early 1800s, and about 139,000 bushels of wheat annually produced in Somerset County alone. But the last standing grist mill in our town actually closed in the 1950s, and there was little to no grain being grown for food grade quality between then and now. And so in 2007, with the formation of the Maine Grain Alliance, there were a grassroots group of folks invested in bringing back and reviving the regional grain economy, which spurred an idea to start a mill in central Maine. Amber Lamke started Maine Grains in 2012, and it's only grown from there.
Only grown from there. I love that we can use all sorts of puns in all sorts of fun words in today's show. Tristan, 57 years then between when, or 62, between when the last grist mill in Somerset County closed and when the new one opened, that's 2 generations of people who really didn't think of Maine in this way. What did it take? What did it take to rebuild this grain economy?
Well, it's really a fascinating history. And, you know, as Kayla mentioned, these grist mills dotted the countryside. There were thousands of them in every town. And by having that infrastructure, you had local knowledge. You had local acumen about how to grow grain in your fields, bring them to the miller who would then prepare it for both feed and food purposes. We were localized. And what it took to rebuild, you know, you mentioned some of the agricultural connections that that Mainers sometimes associate Maine with potatoes. I grew up in a potato farming family. My grandparents on both sides grew potatoes and we grew grain, but we had lost that connection for being able to bring it from the soil to the table. And The way that the pathway that we found to bring that back, to find that sort of Renaissance in grain, was to be able to gather community. And they were talking about the entire community of grains, not just farmers, but bakers, millers, maltsters, brewers, seed researchers, conservationists. It took a whole community of people gathering together to start conversations about identifying the bottlenecks and the pieces of processing infrastructure that were missing.
And where are we today? How many mills are there? How many farmers? How much Maine grain is produced?
It's incredible. And the number of the amount of growth in the last 20 years, as you mentioned, you know, we had some really early innovators in the kind of the bread movement in the early 2000s, late 1990s with Aurora Mills and the relationship that they created with Jim Amaral of Borealis Bread, Aurora Borealis. It took me way too long to realize that those two things were meant to be together. But that was one of the first, you know, pioneering work that was being done to bring that back. Today, you know, we've built on that momentum. The early kneading conferences in 2007, the first conference being held then, helped to identify the places where we really needed to invest. First in processing, so Maine Grains opening to help allow for more milling capacity in addition to Aurora. Bouchard Family Farms in northern Maine with their buckwheat milling operations growing immensely. Today, you know, we have the malt houses also helping to lead the way. Both malt houses in the state, Maine Malt House and Blue Ox Malt House, are malting millions of pounds annually. You know, our mills are milling millions of pounds. And so this is a huge, huge improvement over where we were just even a decade ago.
Well, a couple of you have mentioned now the kneading conference, and that is coming right up, right, Kayla? And not this weekend, but the next. And is this going to be the 20th annual kneading conference in Skowhegan?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Tristan, but I believe this is 19.
19, because we had a pandemic year where we decided to do one, a grain education event that we didn't officially call the kneading conference, but okay. So we're almost there to 20.
Okay. So anyway, why don't you tell us what this is, the kneading conference? And I want to make sure people know that that's KNEADING, the kneading conference. Kayla, what can people expect if they are interested in coming up to Skowhegan in about 9 days?
Yeah, the kneading conference kicks off next Wednesday, July 22nd, downtown
Skowhegan. Six days,
yeah. So it kicks off with a presenter's dinner where we officially welcome folks to town and feed them a delicious meal before things officially kick off with a keynote on Thursday morning. So it's 2 days, two very packed days of baking workshops and discussions around the revival of local grain and its uses in baking and other innovative products. And so we really gather folks from around the world at this point to come and share grain traditions and stories and recipes at this conference in downtown Skowhegan. So we embed ourselves into different spaces around the town, into the kitchens of businesses and other underutilized spaces. And we relish in all things grain related. And so the conference then concludes, which I know we'll get to, with the Maine Artisan Bread Fair, where we open things up to the community on Saturday to come and enjoy bread and other wares sold by more than 60 different vendors up at the Skowhegan Fairgrounds.
So that's a great way for a member of the public to get involved, to come on Saturday to the bread fair. I'm wondering, and I want to do a little bit back in history here. I'm guessing, Tristan, that different communities have different heritage grains that are important to them, and that I'm wondering how much a part of that legacy is important today. You mentioned the Bouchard Family Farm and buckwheat in Aroostook County, and Bouchard is making me guess that that's a French Canadian family. I know Wabanaki people, of course, utilized grains, especially corn. And I'm wondering if you can just talk a little bit about the cultural heritage and the importance of grain there.
Absolutely. You know, there are a lot of reasons to connect to our agricultural past through grain. And, you know, Bouchard Family Farms is a great example because the buckwheat that's being grown on Bouchard Family Farm is the same buckwheat that was planted by the generation before in the same area and the same generation before that. And so what you actually have is something called a landrace grain, which has been locally adapted to kind of meet the unique growing conditions of that place. It becomes a different thing than it was when it started. And through that, you both gain a crop that is a little bit more resilient in the face of things that are changing, climate change and others, but it also is something that is unique and of a place. You know, it helps to spur innovation in culinary traditions, you know, ploys being an example of something that is a traditional use of buckwheat in Northern Maine. So we have a number of these, and what we're doing as an organization is trying to protect and to gather from seed savers all around the world, not just those in Maine, varieties that we think are well suited to our growing conditions, and also that we could grow out to become more commercially viable. Corn has been grown in Maine for millennia, and it is and remains a very important part of our past and our present. Especially Flint row corn, Flint corns, these 8-row corns that are used in all different types of delicious things from and seen in different cultural traditions all around the Americas and now around the world too. So yeah, there's a lot there. We are trying to do our best to bridge the not just focusing on heritage grains. Certainly, that's a big part of our work, is to take these handfuls of seed from seed savers and grow them out. But we also are trying to create markets for them. We're doing bakeability testing to understand their culinary uses and create community around some of the modern varieties that are also really important to our grain economy.
Kayla, what are some of the trends? We know that grains are hip right now, and you know, there's a lot of buzz about grains other than wheat flour. Tell us what the buzz will be about next weekend, and just what you're finding that people the market is asking for.
Yeah, that's for sure. There certainly are a lot of trends in food right now that are of a benefit to grains. So protein and fiber being two of those things that we hear about all the time in the news. Grains are a great source of fiber and protein, oats, wheat, buckwheat, and other heritage grains. So we've been talking about that a lot more in our marketing as well. You may even see we're introducing some brand new package design at the Kneading Conference this year, which will soon be out in the marketplace soon. But we're really leaning into those health benefits. But what you'll see at the conference is a lot of innovation, especially with whole grains and baking. And so venturing out beyond your standard country loaf, but whole grains and laminated pastry, you know, corn products, mixing corn with other grains like rye, really innovative techniques, both old school and new school in baking. So there'll be a lot to take in. We have folks coming who are making pierogies, some other fun and exciting things. I won't spoil it all, but.
Now I'm hungry. Tristan, Kayla used the word innovative, and she was talking about breads and baking, but there are innovative uses for Maine grains that people may not know about, right? So we think about bread and other baked products. We think about beer. What else though? What are you seeing? Where's their growth that is, you know, kind of surprising and fun?
Yeah, you're seeing a lot more in way of consumer packaged goods these days too, with Maine ground grains. That's a indicative of the growth that we've had in being able to create grains that are, you know, that are ready for market, that are, they're grains that are consistent in their in the baking properties that they have. And so now you're seeing that kind of play out in pancake mixes. You're seeing that be done in protein bars. One thing at the Needing Conference that's a really unique innovation that nobody really thinks about, and this is sort of the power of the Needing Conference, is by bringing all these kind of cross-industry people together, you learn all these new and ideas for markets, but new markets for organic straw. There's a company in Maine, Croft, that is using organic straw to supply a new generation of carbon storing building materials. You're seeing it in ready to drink beverages that are not beer. So for example, a new buckwheat soda company called Soba Sparkle, which is from innovators Steve and Karen Getz, who are also behind Maine Crisp Company, which is another innovation that was done about a decade ago. You're seeing that play out in a million different ways now. And, you know, not just in the products that you see that are being created, but also in the skill of the artisans at the end and in the consumers at home that are using it. So you're not just thinking about whole wheat baking anymore. You're thinking about, why is whole wheat baking or stone ground flour beneficial? Well, it has the nutrients inside of it that are good for you, the minerals. It has the taste qualities that are different from other pieces. And in general, you can create things that you wouldn't otherwise be able to do with just traditional white flour. So you're seeing a whole spectrum of new products.
Caitlin, let me ask you, I asked you about trends, and you mentioned protein. I think a lot of people don't think of grains and protein. They think of staying away from grains if they want to boost protein. So I want to ask you, one, what grains do have the highest protein, main grains? And then also I want to ask you about the very important gluten-free trend that's going on and what kind of main grains. I was happy to learn that buckwheat is gluten-free. I have a friend that comes and visits every year and I make her buckwheat pancakes. But what should people know about both the protein and the gluten that they may not know about some of the grains?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, wheat and other grains are not the first thing you think of when you think of protein. But when you freshly stone mill grains, as we do at Maine Grains, you really preserve the integrity of the grain. So the bran, the germ, and the endosperm. So all of its nutritious parts. And what you end up with is a super flavorful and nutrient-dense product. Far more than most products on the shelf today. And so we're really leaning into how those methods really lend themselves well to natural nutrition. So there's no need to add anything to the flour, whey isolate proteins, or other things that are popular these days for supplemental sources of protein. But you asked about what has the most protein. I mean, there are between 5 and 8 grams of protein in a serving of wheat. I think 5 grams of protein in oats. So nothing too substantial. I mean, like it's pretty good. But we talk about it in terms of how it performs. We talk about protein percentage in terms of performance in bread too. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does, and I see Tristan, you nodding. What do you want to add to that?
Yeah, you know, as a farmer, and this is part of the learning process that we've been undertaking since these past 20 years or so, is that you can grow a really great crop of good looking crop of grain, and you harvest it and you're excited and you bring it to the mill and then you send it off to get tested. And you realize that it has a really low protein number. Well, it could be that it's the variety of the grain that you're growing, or the way that it was grown, or it could be how you were, you know, amending the soils. But it doesn't mean that that's necessarily a bad grain. It could be that the lower proteins that come in some wheats that you grow, for example, are excellent for pastry and really good for pasta. And then that you're looking for varieties that maybe will give you that higher protein number that you're looking for a really lofted, like big bread, you know, a nice hearth loaf. So those are the types of things that are starting to, the learning that we have done in places like the Needing Conference and other grain education events that we host throughout the year, understanding that and being able to connect the dots from the farm all the way to the baker and having them have conversations together so that we can, you know, fully create the end product that the baker needs is critical. And those, you know, that's really the secret sauce to our whole grain community. It is that we started these conversations around a kitchen table in a small way in Skowhegan back in 2007. And now the kneading conference is where everyone in the grain community gathers around a table. And these are usually picnic tables, but that's where we learn this important craft. And the educational aspects continue to grow every year that we meet.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. We're talking about grains in Maine. Give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What makes for quality grains, and why is Maine seeing a grain renaissance in recent years? With me today, Kayla Carrier, who is Chief of Sales and Marketing at Maine Grains, and Tristan Noyes, Executive Director of the Maine Grain Alliance and co-founder of the farm Grow Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you want to know about grains and how they're used? Send an email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. It occurs to me as I read this, Tristan, that I have not asked you what Grow Maine grows.
Well, it's sort of indicative of, you know, your journey as a farmer. Sometimes you're never sure exactly where it's going to go, but my brother and I co-founded Grow Maine back in end of 2013, beginning of 2014. And at the time we were growing diverse veggies. We were growing a lot of different lettuce varieties, and we were selling into I grew up in Caribou, so I'm from the county, and we would sell a lot of what we were doing in Southern Maine and in the greater Boston area. And we had a great business that we had developed, but over time we realized that we were interested in this new and exciting kind of market around grains. And so I started to do some research around how I could understand how to more to better grow grains on our farm in rotation with other vegetables, and then what kinds of markets were available. And that introduced me, the first thing I found was the Maine Grain Alliance. And that introduced me to this wonderful group of people, and I've been with them ever since, basically. So now we grow small amounts of heritage and landrace varieties. I have a lot of different Swedish varieties that we've been growing recently. I have a Flint corn variety that was gifted to me from Albie Barden, who is one of the co-founders of the Maine Grain Alliance, which I was given 70 seeds. And it's really powerful to be given such a small number of seeds. It's the corn that I grow is called Fort Kent Golden Flint corn. And so it's of the region that I grew up in. And it has meant a lot to me to try to continue to kind of steward that seed and also explore whether that might have a applicable market application for our grain community somewhere down the road. So that's what we do mostly nowadays.
All right, we're going to go to Torbert calling from York. Hi, Torbert, go ahead.
Good morning, Jennifer and guest. I haven't heard the word organic, I think, except in terms of straw for building material. How much of this new grain production is being done organically, and how, therefore, is it helping the soil? And secondly, is there any room in the economics here to divert some of the grain into animal production so that organic eggs and milk and meat may be part of the overall diet for the people?
Want to go back to you, Tristan?
Sure. Yeah. And I think thanks for bringing up this point. One of our largest grain farms in the state is Aurora Mills and Farm, and they do an incredible job growing a diverse selection of different organic grains. But we have also, as an organization, been involved in the last 3 years with a USDA grant called the Transition to Organic Partnership Program. And so we have hosted dozens and dozens of educational workshops, which will continue the entirety of this year, including events like the Organic Grain and Seed Summit, which we held this past April at Kennebec Valley Community College, that brought together seed savers from all across the region talking about organic grain growing practices. Our intent was to help to support those organic grain farmers who are already growing, but to also help shine a light on pathways that could help to transition some of those folks into organic. As an organization, we're inclusive of conventional growers and organic growers. We're supportive of both practices, and there's a place for all of it. And I should say, to your point around the feed market, you know, traditionally, that continues to be a huge part of our grain economy. We grow about 50,000 acres of grain, and most of that, 25,000 acres of that, has historically been around oats. We've got about another 15,000 in barley, and a lot of that has been gone into feed markets, which are extremely important to the overall opportunity that the grain economy presents. Where we can continue to strengthen it is to strengthen both the opportunities for conventional growers to access other options, whether it be through mills or malt houses, you know, bread and beer, consumer packaged goods, innovations around corn, you know, tortilla makers, but also to do it in a way that helps to encourage more organic growers, because it is an investment of time and energy, and there is a market, especially around bread, for organic grain.
Kayla.
Yeah, I might just add that, you know, before the inception of Maine Grains, our founder, Amber Lamke, went and studied at Kansas State University at the International Grains Program. And there she learned a staggering statistic that less than 1% of the grain grown in this country is grown organically. And that really stuck with her. And what she came back with was a passion for finding and helping farmers transition to organic so that we can produce organic grains for the food grade market. And that's what we've done. Most everything that you find in a retail bag labeled Maine Grains is grown organically and exclusively stone milled. So we see that as a benefit to farmers, helping them rebuild healthy soils. We're also helping them, you know, in the case of a bad year, helping them find markets for that grain, primarily in feed grade markets. But that's been a huge focus of ours for the last 14 years.
We actually have a panel that's open to the public at the Kneading Conference this year on Thursday, July 23rd, that talks about how we're expanding these grain markets through collaboration, and specifically on the organic side, we'll welcome Kyle from Sassanoa Brewing, who is one of the few MOFCA certified organic breweries in the state, and to talk about, you know, the opportunities on the brewing side, which is more challenging to find organic beer, largely because hops are also difficult to source organically.
Torbert, thanks for your question. We're going to go now to Martha Leonard, who is co-owner of Maize Restaurant in Portland. Hi, Martha. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Tell me how you incorporate Maine grains into the dishes you serve. And I understand that this is Colombian street food. Tell us about the food that you serve and how you incorporate Maine grains.
Absolutely. And I'm really excited that Maine Grains mentioned corn. I think oftentimes corn is kind of overlooked as a staple grain, and it is a staple grain for so many communities across both of the Americas. We are really proud to be able to work with Maine farmers to source the majority of our corn. We have recently also launched a frozen line of food so people can bring things home and kind of test it out in their own kitchens, get creative, try it. That is entirely Maine-grown corn. And we have arepas, which are kind of like a doughier corn tortilla. It's a different process, so the taste and quality of the quote-unquote tortilla is different. And then we also do empanadas with, so they're not flour empanadas. You know, there's a million different types of empanadas, but the ones we do are corn-based and very, traditionally made with a whole grain corn.
Yeah, well, I understand that, and I need to ask you, because of your Colombian heritage, how what the news this week has affected you and your family and others you know in the immigrant community.
I really appreciate that question. I think I've been thinking a lot about, you know, in anticipation of calling in, kind of how this is a much deeper and much bigger impact. I think there's a huge movement right now about reinvigorating and growing this grain economy here in Maine, this kind of robust, beautiful corn economy. And we need our immigrant leaders, our immigrant community members, for their wealth of knowledge, their expertise around these different products. And I really feel strongly that people, if they don't feel safe building their homes here, participating in the economies, they're going to leave Maine, and we are going to lose a huge value, and Maine will lose out. And I think that that is something we need to think really carefully about as we are making policies and decisions.
Martha, I have to ask you about the dishes you serve. Was it did folks in Southern Maine embrace them quickly, or have you had to sort of throw people an elbow and say, really, try this? It you may not have heard of it, but it's delicious.
That's actually a great question. So I'm not Colombian. I'm from New England. My husband is from the northern coast of Colombia, so he's from Havana. When we started, we were really committed to not doing Pan Latin. We were really committed to arepas, and we actually ended. We added on empanadas and other things after, and we had huge pushback. I mean, people really just wanted burritos and tacos because that's what they're familiar with. But I think we are lucky in that we are based in Portland, and I do think, you know, people kind of leaned in. They were like, okay, well, I don't know what this is, but I can learn about this new highly regional food. And I like to believe that our work in that and kind of not giving up and not making tacos because we don't know how to make tacos allows other places as well to really highlight the specifics and the beautiful differences and diversity in these corn-based products.
Well, Martha, thanks for calling in. Martha Leonard is with My Ease Restaurant in Portland. Let's see, we will go to Joyce, who's calling from Brattleboro, Vermont. Go ahead, Joyce.
Yes, when I lived in Maine in 2010, I was part of the MACA's Common Ground Fair, working in the exhibition hall, and there was an Israeli woman who had this incredible story about all the different types of ancient wheats that she had collected and in May. And my question is there, and the ancient wheats are known to be chemically different, so they're more tolerable to people with gluten intolerance. So my question is are there people in Maine right now growing any of these ancient wheats?
All right. Good question, Joyce. Which of you wants to take that one?
I can take it. And I think I know who you even are referring to. The person is Ellie Ragosa, and she has is a longtime seed saver. And in fact, a lot of the grains that we are growing as an organization, not a lot of them, but a number of them from as an organization, we have sourced from her over the years. And she's collaborated with MAFCA quite a lot and based out of Massachusetts. But yes, we are growing a lot of ancient grains. In fact, there, if you think about the sort of very first grains, the very first human produced agricultural product, basically in the field, was something called einkorn. So you have these are very early developments in agriculture who are growing einkorn, which is a predecessor to wheat. It's if you look at it and you look at a modern head of wheat and a head of einkorn, They look very different. Einkorn, the kernels are very small. It's just a very slender stock, whereas a modern wheat is now having all this time, a much thicker wheat berry, you know, much more full. But we grow spelt, which is also an ancient grain here, and it's used in a number of different products, including farro, for example, that's sold with Maine grains. Emmer, as part of our seed restoration, we have grown several different types of emmer. Those are all, you know, in that category of ancient grains. And then you have these heritage grains, which also aren't necessarily ancient, but predate sort of the 1950s seed work that had grown out of that. I will say one thing to the note about gluten sensitivity as it relates to these older varietals. It's not so much that if you have a gluten sensitivity that an ancient grain will make you feel less sensitive. It is true that sometimes that is true for some people, but it is also not always true. And it can be the inverse sometimes. Sometimes an ancient grain might make someone feel worse and a modern would not. So there's a complex kind of interplay of things that can contribute to that. But, you know, if bread is created in a longer fermentation, sometimes that also helps with sensitivity because it's breaking down some of those more complex carbohydrates and making it more digestible in your system.
Thanks for calling, Joyce. We do need to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Grains are a big deal in Maine for the farmers that grow them, the people who mill them, and folks who use them in so many different ways. My guest for this hour, Tristan Noyes with the Maine Grain Alliance and with Grow Maine, and Kayla Carrier with Maine Grains. Share your comments and questions. Send a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. You can also post on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Jason Perkins, who is a brewmaster and vice president of brewing operations for Allagash Brewing Company. Thanks for calling in, Jason.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so if anybody's made a homebrew, they understand the importance of grains in beer. But if they haven't, maybe they don't. What do you use?
Yeah, so, you know, the primary ingredients, as a lot of people might know, for on the grain side are malted barley first. People have probably heard that before. But we also use a pretty high portion of both several kinds of wheat and oats. Those are also common ingredients that can be used. But you can extend it much further than that. People use things like rye and spelt and a whole series of other small grains can contribute to beer flavor and character.
I'm guessing that Allagash is able to source a lot more Maine grain than you were when the company was founded.
Yeah, for sure. It's really been an amazing journey, and honestly, one of the things that I think myself and Rob Todd, the owner here, are most proud of here is how we've been able to grow our purchasing of Maine grains and really get to know farmers and the people in the grain community, people I call close friends today. You know, going back 10 plus years, we were using almost no small grains grown in the state of Maine. Almost all of our grain was coming from the Midwest. We were using as much as we could on the fruit side and those things that were more available. And really, about around 2014, 2015, started to really realize the opportunity that was there to use more grains in the state, to work with farmers to get them to grow the grains we needed and to process them in the way we wanted. And huge credit to Maine Grain Alliance for helping us along that path in the early years back in 2014 and 2015. Amber Lemke was referenced earlier on this show, and she was the original executive director of the Maine Grain Alliance and really was pivotal in helping us kind of identify where we could source, introducing us to farmers and so on to get us today. And so we're using about 2 million pounds of Maine grown grains today in a given year, whereas, you know, 10 years ago it was, you know, maybe 10,000 pounds to a little bit more. So it's been an incredible journey, and it's been an honor to work with all these farmers.
Wow, that is really quite a dramatic increase. I understand that you use a lot of Maine grains into making beer, but that's not the end of the story. What happens to the grains, correct? What happens after
correct.
The beer is made?
Yeah, it's a really great kind of symbiotic relationship we have with another set of farmers, livestock farmers. So when we use the grain for our process, and it goes through a steeping process, and we pull the grain and the sugars that we, or the flavors and the sugar we want out of the grain. And at that point, we've used it for what we need it for, but there's still a pretty tremendous amount of nutrient left in the grain. And so we'll donate to that grain to local farmers. So we've actually here at Allegash been working with the same farmer for almost all of our 31 years, not quite, about 29 of our 31 years, Justice Farm in Gorham. And he takes all our grain and distributes it around to local farms, and they feed it to mostly cattle, but it's also very high-quality feed for pigs, for sheep, and so on.
Wow. Well, what do you see the future holding, Jason? If we have this conversation in 10 years, how much Maine grain is Allegash going to be using, and what kind of products can we see?
Yeah, I mean, I think the sky's still the limit in this regard for us here at Allegash. You know, we are still not purchasing all of our grain for our brewing. We're producing about 35%+ of it from Maine. So I think there's opportunity for us to continue. And it's just worth noting, too, that, you know, we're not alone here. Like, I would wager that almost every craft brewer in the state of Maine is using at least some portion of grains grown here in the state. And I think maybe there are some who are using 100%, and that's great. But I think there are plenty of people who can continue to expand that. And the more connection that the consumer can have to that local grain, can understand the importance of that, and really encourage those brewers to continue to buy and support these farms here in the state.
Jason, thanks for calling. Tristan, Jason Perkins with Allegash Brewing Company, he was talking about other brewers. You were nodding. What would you like to add?
It's just incredible. I mean, first, kudos to Allegash for, I was reflecting on coming on Maine Calling, because it wasn't, it was about 9 years ago that Jason and I came on Maine Calling to make the announcement that Allegash was going to, over the course of 5 years, purchase 1 million pounds annually. And you've just heard him say that they're now purchasing 2 million pounds annually. And so this past 10 years in brewing, it can't be understated how important that has been to the entire grain economy, and that bread and beer have been mutually reinforcing of one another. It's created the infrastructure by putting a flag in the sand and saying exactly how many pounds they would be sourcing. It created a pathway for farmers to understand what they needed to have in terms of post-harvest grain handling capacity on the farm. That means drying, sorting, cleaning, infrastructure. And then, you know, in 2009, I think there was 30 breweries in the state, craft breweries. And today we have about 175. And to have almost all of them using local malt from either Blue Ox Malt House or Maine Malt House is a remarkable commitment and indicative of what I think we can all do together as a community of grain people.
Welcome to Maggie calling from York. Hi, Maggie. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is a great, happy show. I love it. I do use grains a lot, but my questions are specifically about wheat and about flours. A lot of grains now are very hearty, you know, and heavy breads, Amadama, and you can go on and go on. But I've always tried to make the perfect baguette, and I found that unless I add cake flour to kind of just a regular flour you can get here or people make, it's not, you have to do that, get that fine texture. Does anybody make a finer grain flour to make, for example, a great baguette? And the other thing is, give me a link for recipes for, you know, coarse flour and all these great grains, basically for baking. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Kayla, do you have advice for her? Really fine grained wheat flour that you could use in French style baking?
Yeah. So, cake flour in particular is made from a soft wheat. So, at Maine Grains, we sell a pastry flour. We call it organic pastry flour. That's a soft wheat variety that we just lightly sift to remove a very small portion of the bran from. So I might suggest that in addition to whatever strong flour you're using. I might suggest our organic all-purpose flour for that strong protein that's going to give your baguettes good rise. So yeah, I might start there.
Good luck, Maggie, and I'll be over. Let's see, we'll go to Patty calling from Cambridge, Maine. Hi, Patty.
Hi there. I am the vendor coordinator for the Maine Artisan Bread Fair, which is happening on the 25th, and I wanted to make sure your listeners don't miss this. There's more than 20 bakers, plus a whole bunch of really great stuff that's generated during the kneading conference, plus stuff like tiramisu, cannolis, all kinds of cheese, maple syrup, popcorn, everything you could imagine that has to do with bread and eating. Olive oil, it's in Skowhegan on the fairgrounds from 9 until 3.
Patty, thanks for calling. Is there a limit to how many people can go, Tristan?
No, this is the bread fair is really where you can see, smell, and taste the grain that's being grown here in the state. We will welcome hopefully as many as 4,000 people to the Skowhegan State Fairgrounds from 9 to 3. Please come. You can sign up for workshops on our website. We have a whole variety of different workshops geared for home bakers and people who maybe have never even ventured into a sourdough or a local grain use in any way. And we also have, I will mention, in addition to the bread fair on Friday evening, we are doing a grain pairing of five different grains, beers, and cheese, featuring some of those great breweries we were just talking about, Allagash and Bissell Brothers, who uses also a huge amount of local grains. Both Jason and Noah and Hester Bissell will be joining us at the Beer Garden in Skowhegan on Friday, July 24th for that five kind of grain pairing event. We'll have cheese from Crooked Face Creamery, which is based in Skowhegan, a world award-winning cheese that I'm sure has been on Maine Calling in the past as well. And then bread that's being baked at the conference, but also from the Miller's Table restaurant, which is connected to Maine Grains and uses the flour that's made there. So the whole week we have activities. If you can't make the kneading conference, the bread fair is a really great way to be able to do it. And it you can spend all day there and learn something new and take tons of new stuff home.
Thanks, Patty, for calling in. Let's see here. We'll go to Kelly calling from Skowhegan. Hi, Kelly. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Kelly LeCay. Hey, Tristan. Hey, Kayla.
Hey, Kelly.
My husband and I own the Maine Meal. We're located in downtown Skowhegan. We are very honored to be using Maine Grain Flours in our fresh pastas. And you can find us at the Hollowell Farmers Market, the Newport Farmers Market, the Belgrade Lakes Farmers Market, and our retail shop in downtown Skowhegan at 4 Madison Avenue, as well as online.
Kelly, thank you. And I love that Kelly called from Skowhegan because, Skowhegan really has become the center of this world, Kayla. And I don't think it's just because your headquarters are there. Talk about the energy that if someone hasn't been there in a while, what would they find?
Yeah, I'm always hesitant to call Skowhegan, a food hub. But really, it is a growing place that you will find amazing local food. So as Tristan mentioned, inside Maine Grains, we have the Miller's Table Cafe, which is a farm-to-table style menu. Everything is centered around what can be baked out of the wood-fired oven. And it's really a way to feature our grains on a menu for the community to enjoy. So also inside our cafe, we sell local products like Afterglow Ice Cream Sammies. Ice cream sandwiches made with a Maine Grains cookie with locally made ice cream by Emily Eckhart over in Emden, the founder of that company. Then we have the Maine Meal making amazing whole grain pastas. Thank you, Kelly, for calling in. We have the Bakery downtown, another bakery making a wide assortment of baked goods for the community. Just outside of town, our sister business, literally and figuratively, the Good Crust. Heather Kerner is Amber's twin sister, and she started the Good Crust in 2020. So,
all right. So I really need to go get lunch now. Kelly, thanks for calling in, and thank you to our guest today. That was Kayla Carrier, Chief of Sales and Marketing at Maine Grains, and Tristan Noyes, Executive Director of the Maine Grain Alliance and co-founder of the farm Grow Maine. Our sound engineer was Chris Bridges. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, we will check in on the community radio scene in Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.